Now please turn with me for our scripture and the text we're going to be looking at this morning to Psalm 96. And no, I am not beginning to lose it. I remember well that the last time I led the service, we read that psalm for our text. But this is a second look at the same psalm this morning. The Word of God as we find it recorded in Psalm 96. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all peoples. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give to the Lord, O families of the peoples, give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world also is firmly established. It shall not be moved. He shall judge the peoples righteously. Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar in all its fullness. Let the field be joyful and all that is in it. Then all the trees of the woods will rejoice before the Lord. For he is coming, to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with his truth. Thus far, the reading of God's most holy word. God has given to his church a new song to sing. That is, that God has announced from the first page to the last page in the scriptures. God has announced salvation, that salvation through the work of his Son is ours. It is the food for his sheep. And further, he has now called us to himself to know this salvation. And he has called us to respond. That's singing the new song. To know that we are God's people. And he has called us to do so by means of the gathering, the corporate worship of God's people. In our first look at this psalm, we saw clearly that not only does God call you to respond in salvation, but particularly he calls us to respond by means of together, corporately, as God's people in worship. The very popular notion that one can respond to God privately, not that you can't have times of reading scripture and praying to God in a private sort of way, and saying, Lord, I love you, and all of that. But the concept that that is something totally apart from the church, and the church is kind of a nice added thing, is not what the psalm is talking about. You won't find that in the scripture. And so an additional look this morning at this psalm will show that in the context of the ministry, let me put it this way, in the context of worship, the ministry of the Word of God, and that worship, as we saw last time, is from the heart, singing the song of salvation, celebrating in shouting the victory of salvation in Jesus Christ. Basic to that song is the Word of God. The Word of God remains and must be central in our worship. So specifically today, we want to see what God says, or what the psalmist says, that the God that we are called to sing the song, the new song of salvation, is the God who speaks. The God who speaks to his people. He speaks to his people so that we might know him. That's the first thing we're going to see. And secondly, that we will be faithful, remain faithful to him. All of this is about hearing and responding to the good news of redemption. That's the new song the psalmist is referencing. Now, why? I believe the last time when we looked at this psalm and we raised the issue of gathering public worship, I also said, why do you worship? Well, why is the word of God important? Listen to what he says, for example, in verse 3. He tells us, God's people, declare his glory among the nations, his wonder among all peoples. We are further told in verse 4, for the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. Both of these instructions from God, praising him, fearing him in the right sense of that word in terms of worship, they require that God's people know who he is. How can you praise God if you don't know who he is, what he has done, to be instructed in his word? Sad to say, it is well known that in the Bible-believing, it's kind of a contradiction here, the Bible-believing church, the knowledge about what's in the Bible is woefully poor. Woefully poor. That's what Paul prayed about in Ephesians 1, that we might know God. There is this sort of approach that says, well, we want to just tell God of our love for him. All of that theology, all of that study, that just gets in the way of loving God. No matter how much noise you make about your emotional relationship with God, if you don't know who God is, it's just noise. It's just noise. As sheep out there in the pasture need food, so do God's people need spiritual food. And here's the thing. God has provided for that food. The prophet Habakkuk speaks of the fact that every idol that is worshipped, and understand that the concept, and even as he speaks of it, an idol is any philosophy today, any truth or so-called truth that someone would promote and live the life according to, which does not come from the scriptures, which does not come from God, is an idol. And Habakkuk says, and no idol ever spoke. No idol ever said anything, but God is in his temple. God speaks. As you may well know, I have become increasingly convinced, or the scriptures has increasingly convinced me, that there is a very important place for the joyous, heartfelt expression of faith through song. True worship must be an element, must have it, an element of celebration. And yet, let's be clear, to emphasize the heart aspect is not to emphasize a relationship with God if we don't know who we're talking about. To put your trust in Christ is to know who he is and what he has done. Paul instructs young Timothy, we're going to make a reference to that more specifically in a moment, but Paul instructs young Timothy, preach the word in season and out of season. Continuously make known the word of God. Not only does the psalm call for us to know God, we are to make him known. Note in verse 10, say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world also is firmly established. It shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. If you're going to tell your neighbor or someone in the far corner of the world about Christ, you need to know what you're telling him about. If you're going to tell your neighbor about what God says about him and his life, you better need to know what it is that God says. Psalm 78, in a covenant structure as well, teaches us that fathers who are concerned about their children continuing in the faith and their children's children and children's children, then tell them about what God has done. Teach them of the works of God. Again, keep in mind, worship is meeting with God. And at the heart of that meeting with God is the reality that God speaks. He speaks to us even as we lift up our voices in song unto him. He speaks directly in the sermon. But more than simply uplifting the importance of the centrality of the sermon, it's not just, well, we do a number of other things just to be doing something, but the sermon, that's it. Yes, the sermon is the word of God. It is Christ speaking. But every part of worship, every part of coming into his house and meeting with him, even as we lift up our voices in song unto him, there's a message there. There's a word of God there. And I realize I talked about song last time, but let me say one further word here as it fits in with this idea of all of it has to do with the word of God. The Psalms are great. We must never get away from singing the Psalms. The great hymns of faith are great, well known. But God's people continue to praise God. We continue to read the Scriptures. We continue to study the Scriptures. We continue to preach the Word of God with fresh sermons. And so I am extremely grateful that God has seen fit to give to his church the gifts that we might continue to receive and have available to us fresh songs of praise based on the Scriptures, so that we might be instructed in the Word of God even as we lift up our voices unto God. This is what we need to see first of all. God does speak. Now, understanding the means by which he speaks is equally important for us to see. We, of course, know that the Bible is the Word of God. We must also know that it is the absolute authoritative direction from God. Again, I mentioned last time the connection between Psalms 96 and 95 and Psalm 95. It makes the point that truly to come to God is to come to God and receive his authoritative word. It makes no sense when we say, this is the word of God, all of it. We don't like it when people say, well, this one part, I don't know about that, or this part, it's really not important. No, this is the word of God. It is authoritative. And then we go out and live our lives differently. Is it really authoritative? Is it really authoritative? God spoke of the promise of redemption in the garden to Adam and Eve. He spoke to the fathers, Abraham. He spoke to the prophets. His word became flesh in the person of Christ. Do you hear him today? You know, there are those who say that Revelation continues, that God gives revelation in addition to what's in the Bible, and that if you are just spiritual enough and get up every morning, this is a bit of a caricature, yes, but you get up every morning and listen and God will tell you what to do for today. Well, God has told you what to do for today. It's in this book. But God does speak today. He does not send a new message. His word is complete in scriptures. But from that completed revelation, he continues to speak to his people. How so? When the people of God are gathered in public worship, and all that goes with that, under the oversight of the church, of the council, under the offense of the creeds and all that goes with that, the public gathering of God's people, Paul clearly tells us in Romans 10, verse 14, that it is in fact Jesus speaking to his people. You want to know what God wants you to do with your life tomorrow and the next day? You want to God not to be so far removed from you that you are close with him and know him, be personal with him, be in the worship service. If the child of God understands even in a small way, if you think about that for a moment, and the wonder of hearing Christ speaking to you, literally, as he says in John 10, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. If you have the opportunity to hear that, how in the world can you miss that? Unless providentially prevented. Now, God has in his wisdom determined to use weak, sinful men as a tool by which he speaks to his sheep. In the context of public worship, by means of the creeds as a guard, a fence to protect, under the direction and with the team of a council together, it is not the words of man. They are the words of Christ. Yes, that means the message must be faithful to the scriptures. Again, known by the creeds, and the counsel is iron sharpens iron, not in an accusatory sort of way, but in working together to come to the best sense and the full sense of the truth, together being faithful to the inspired word of God. And in that sense, it is not a buffet. It is not pick what you like and leave what you don't like. It is not a sharing of different ideas that one person might have and might be useful for you and perhaps not. It is not about the person, rather by the office bearers together. Yes, the ministers are the mouthpiece by which Christ speaks, and there is an authoritative process by which the church is faithful to that. But you hear the words of redemption. God truly speaks. He speaks to you today. Here is where then also we do take issue with what has become generally known, and some of the practice at least, in that context of contemporary worship, where there may be 45 minutes of cranking up the amplifiers and a loud expression of relationship with God in some form or another. And then that is set aside and there might be found a few words, the message from God. In American Christianity, woefully lacking in terms of true ministering of the word of God in his church. Listen to what God says through the prophet Ezekiel in chapter 34. In the earlier part, or the part prior to this, chapter 34, I'm going to start reading with verse 28. But we read there of, and I think I made mention to that in the last sermon as well, that God calls his sheep from wherever they are, in the very pits of sin, wherever, in whatever dark pit of sin, whatever dark world that they are in today. Let us never fear that we are somehow finding ourselves in a situation where God's church is losing. God knows where his people are at, and God calls them to himself. But he further tells us, and listen to these words starting with verse 28. And they shall no longer be a prey for the nations, nor shall beasts of the land devour them, but they shall dwell safely, and no one shall make them afraid. I will raise up for them a garden of renown, and they shall no longer be consumed with hunger in the land, nor bear the shame of the Gentiles anymore. Thus they shall know that I, the Lord their God, am with them, and they, the house of Israel, are my people, says the Lord God. You are my flock, the flock of my pastor. You are men, and I am your God, says the Lord God. That is to say, yes, we are called by God, but we're still struggling in a world that is struggling with the darkness of sin and unbelief. And God's people need to be fed daily by their God to keep them. Notice the process. God knows where they're at in their sin. He rescued them, but he continues to care for them in the midst of this world, and they will never again be overcome. In verse 2, we read again, let's remind ourselves, sing to the Lord, bless his name, proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Tell of his salvation from day to day. God has come to you. It is what the Bible is, with the news of redemption. The new song. It is by this news that the lost are called and the saved continue on an ongoing basis to be reminded, the psalmist says, day by day. Let's not say, well, I'm glad you're in the church now, then you're okay. Day by day, on an ongoing basis, no matter how many times you have heard the gospel, no matter how well you have studied the gospel, you still need to hear it next Sunday from the pulpit. God speaks in worship that you might know your Savior, that you will not lose your trust in him. How can anything be more important than to say, I trust Jesus? Of course, I call on all of you to say that, that that is what's in your heart. Do you truly have put your faith and your hope and your trust in Christ? But that's not all that God has called you to. Listen to the words of verses 8 through 10. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before him. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world also is firmly established. It shall be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Heidelberg Catechism, question and answer number 32, teaches us that your life is to be a living sacrifice. Not just to say, I love Jesus. Not even just to say, I was in church on Sunday. But all of your life, you're being a father, you're being a mother, you're being students at your workplace, pursuing your career, talking to your neighbor. Make known his holiness. Call all to know that God will judge. How do you know how to do that? Do you find out how to live your life as parents and as pursuing a certain vocation by the experts of the world? Or do you receive the word of God from the God who speaks? Yes, this word has something to say to you about every part of life. Do you really think that you can serve God in life, being the living sacrifice, without this word and its ongoing instruction? Finally, the psalmist says, tremble before him. Tremble before him, all the earth. I made mention earlier about what Paul says in 2 Timothy. Let me read further from that passage. 2 Timothy 4, Paul says to young Timothy, preach the word, starting with verse 2. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. Notice the words. He's talking about preaching to the sheep. Not necessarily, yes, that word needs to go out there, but he's talking about in the dark world. He's talking about preaching to the sheep, those who are in the church, those who know Christ as their Savior. He says, preach the word, and then notice the words that he says. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. That's what you and I need to hear. Exhortation, rebuking, convincing. The entire concept of Christ is our shepherd, we are his sheep, and as we know, sheep are the animals of all that need care and watching over, who are tend to go astray. The whole concept of ministry in the scriptures and in the context of a sacrifice unto God for our lives, God sends one loud and all-encompassing message. You, I, no exceptions. Does it make any difference what your experience is? You need to hear the word of God for your personal daily relationship with God. The Heidelberg Catechism says that even the holiest men in this life have only a small beginning. Small beginning in obedience and in living faithfully before God. That means we need God's direction daily and ongoing. And it's not just central, of course, to that is the preaching of the word, but all of the ministry of the word of God. How few take advantage of the ministry from the word of God. Yes, you ought to be reading it at home. You ought to be studying it. You ought to be becoming familiar with it. But all of the different avenues that are available to you in the ministry of church to learn more about the word of God, and how few take advantage of it. Of course, God speaks the ministry of the word, but beyond that, the teaching ministry of the church is an important aspect of singing the song of salvation. All of that implies that there is a fundamental need for everyone to be plugged into Christ as a lifeline. Remember, Christ says he is the vine, we are the branches. Branches that do not receive sap from the vine die and don't produce fruit. Branches that are engrafted into Christ and receive the sap from the vine grow and produce. Christ has engrafted you into that vine. God speaks to you. God's word is daily to his people. What a wonderful God we have. How great that is. What a caring shepherd in Christ, the Savior. You have been called to sing the song of salvation. You have been called as God's people to meet with him and to eat at his table of delightful things. You know, I have to ask, how is it possible? How is it possible that there could be such little participation and study and fellowship, growing in the knowledge of the Lord. There is no doubt, and I want to be very careful about how I say this now. I'm speaking of myself. There is no doubt that I could probably benefit occasionally from missing a meal. But no one who knows God can afford to miss the meal of the spiritual food that he gives to us, beginning in the worship and in all of the ministry of the church. Let us pray together. Our God and Father, what a joy, what a privilege, how it is we do not understand that you have called us out of darkness, you have given us the song of salvation to sing. May we truly sing it in our worship and in our life, even as we have been taught by our Lord and Savior, the prayer that he has taught us, as we would join together now. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now as we